to be in America recently, this collective kind of lump in our throat as we say, Happy July 4th. Happy Independence Day. And there is this sense in our nation of such grief and such heartache that it's hard to get the flag up and begin to wave it a little bit because we are torn. And as a nation, we're hurting. All we have to do is look at the news. We see the pandemic. We see the economic hit that our nation is taking. We're looking at the riots. We're looking at the uprisings. We're looking at things that are sailing our nation, and we're saying, God, what is going to happen? Where are we as a nation? And is there any hope for America? And what we're starting to hear is this sense of defeat. We are not defeated. The Church of Jesus Christ is still in America. And until the day that she's taken out and raptured, that's the day that the nation and the world will have no more hope. But we are here now. And God wants to bless the nation of America. I believe that. I believe that. The other day, I was taking some time, and I was praying. And I began praying for the church. And I wasn't praying for Hope Chapel in particular. I was praying for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church all around the world, his body that he loves, that he died for. And my prayer was just random, but I believe Holy Spirit inspired. God, bless your church with revival. Bless her with a sense and a calling to holiness. Bring her, Lord, to her knees in front of you in worship. Lord, let your bride be ready for your coming. Let her be excited that you are coming for her. Let her make herself ready. Let her be sorry for her sin. Let her be joyful in who she is. Lord, bless the body of Christ. Bless your wonderful body. And I could see her in her wedding dress, ready for Jesus to come. And when I was done with that, the Holy Spirit prompted me, and he said, Ainsley, now bless America. And I was startled for a second. And the reason I was startled is because I had this sense of, well, gee, Lord, I mean, we're not in a very good place as a nation. I mean, look, are you wanting to bless this mess? It just feels like a mess. How can we ask for the blessing of the Lord right now? It's when we're in a mess that we need the blessing of the Lord. And that's why we pray. We pray for the blessing of the Lord. Why? Because God is a God of blessing. He's always been that way. God has always been a God of blessing. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. The first words that God spoke over mankind were words of blessing. Now, he had blessed other elements of his creation before he created man. But when he creates man, he says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Blessings are life-giving words. When we pray for someone and we bless them, we are expecting fully that God is going to take those words and that God himself will do the blessing. And so we count as we look for God's blessing, which, can you see this? The very first words that God speaks over mankind are words of blessing. Don't misunderstand God. He is a great God. He is a God who desires, and his intention from the very beginning was to bless mankind. And he gave her this wonderful earth and said, I put things in it. I want you to subdue it. So again, God's first words over people were words of blessing. Can we ask God to bless America? I believe that we can. Now, we're going to go to our text this morning, which is Psalm 115, if you will go to Psalm 115. And we're going to take a look at this. Our first point is that glory belongs to you. Glory belongs to you. So Psalm 115, saying, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, 'Where is their God?'" Our first concern, and the first thing that we look at as the people are crying out, they're saying, "Lord, we are concerned for you." Can we begin to have a new concern? That our concern isn't, well, it is about our nation, but it's that God would be glorified in our nation. And how will he be glorified? He's going to be glorified through his church. He's going to be glorified through his work. So we're saying, and the scripture is saying, "Not unto us, O Lord, but unto you be glory. For your name's sake, let there be glory." Why? Why should the nations around us be able to say, "Where is your God? Who is the God that you serve?" And this is one of the things that we're hearing right now. It's implied if it's not exactly stated. Yeah, where is God? The God of these people, who is he? Where is he? Why should the nations be able to say, "Where is their God? Where is our God, church?" He's here, he's with us. And we are desirous that glory and honor and praise would go to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Lord, for your sake, for your name's sake, will you be glorified? Ezekiel talks about this. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the Lord says something. In Ezekiel 36, 22, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nation. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." God is willing to do things for his name's sake. And we are longing that the Lord would be hallowed, or that he would be holy in the eyes of the church. The Lord will move for his name's sake and for his honor and for his glory. But we're going to be praying, "God bless America. Why should the people say, 'So where is their God?'" Now, as the psalm goes on, it says, "But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases." This is the God that we serve. We serve a God who cannot be contained, a God who is not limited by time and space or any other thing. Our God is the God who dwells in the heavens. Thank God he dwells in the hearts of people who invite him into their life too. But he does whatever he pleases. God does whatever he pleases. And he will use whatever means he needs to do that his name would be glorified. Could it be that COVID, could it be that other things are God allowing them in order that somehow honor and glory would go to him? Well, I Lord, you be glorified, not unto us, O Lord, but unto you would you receive glory. It says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands." It goes on talking about these idols, that they're fashioned by men, they're made by men, and men take them and basically put them up on their mantelpiece and say, "Here are our gods. We will serve these gods." The scripture says in verse 8 down at the bottom, "Those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them." What are they? They end up being dead. They end up being lifeless. They end up having nothing to them. Now, I don't know many people. I see, I'll see different statues of gods, perhaps in people's yards and things like that. We see some of that kind of stuff. But by and large, we would say, well, we don't really see people fashioning and making gods and putting them up on their mantelpiece. But the gods that people and that men are fashioning today are ideologies. They're things like Marxism and communism and things that in their basis, and humanism, ideologies crafted by men that leave God out of the picture. And these are the things that people are putting up and saying that they will serve that. Well, not us. Not the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, not the United States of America. We want to be careful what we bow down to. We bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. And what a Savior. He can't be contained. Is there hope for America? Yes, there absolutely is hope for America. Glory belongs to you, O Lord. Our second point is this. Our trust is in you. Let's look at verses 9 to 11. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now, this likely was a refrain as this hymn was recited among the Israelites. One person would say, O Israel, trust in the Lord. And they would respond, He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, you who are the priests, trust in the Lord. And they would respond, He is their help and their shield. O you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And so this would be stated. And many feel that it wasn't, O you Israel, trust in the Lord, as if a command, but rather, O Israel, trust in the Lord. O the people of Aaron, they trust in the Lord. And then this last group, those who fear God, that they trust in the Lord. So three distinct groups of people, the Israelites, the house of Aaron, the priests, and then those who fear God, the non-Israelite worshipers of God, the converts to Him, that each of these were expressing their belief and their understanding and the fact that they could say, I trust in the Lord. He is my help and my shield. This would have been something having to do with them understanding that God will deliver us, that He will be our help, that when it comes to even God rescuing us, we understand that God is the one who can and will rescue us, and He's our shield. What's that? He's our defense. We need God to bless America with His help and with His shield. Can we respond that He's our help and He's our shield? Yes, we can. Are we people who trust in the Lord? And we're not the only ones. There are people all over this nation who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have the ability and, I hope, the desire to call on the Lord. The third point is that blessing comes from you. And let's read verses 12 to 15. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. So after the people are saying that the Lord is their help and their shield, they rise up with a sense of faith and say, the Lord will do this. The Lord will bless Israel. The Lord will bless the house of Aaron. The Lord will bless those who fear the Lord. He will do that. He will do that. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children. Are you concerned for your children? I'm concerned for my children. I want them to be blessed by God more and more. And I believe that they can and that they will be as we call on the Lord. May you be blessed by the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. The God that the nations are laughing at, the God that people even in this nation are laughing at, He is the God who blesses people who put their trust in Him. He's the one who made heaven and earth. Now, I know that you may say, well, but we're not Israelites. We're not the priests of Aaron. We do fear God, so we feel like we'd fall in that particular category. But I want you to, for your heart to be settled about that. Because let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, before there was a nation of Israel, the Lord called out a man who responded in faith, who believed in God, who obeyed and followed the commands of the Lord. And chapter 12, again, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, we know that there was the promise that the Savior, who would be the ultimate blessing, would come through Abraham and through his line. And that is very significant. Genesis 22:18 says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So there is this promise of this blessing that would go to mankind through Abram and through his seed. Now, what does that mean for us today? Well, let's take a look at Galatians chapter 3. Was this promise only to Abraham? Was it only to the Israelites? Was it only to them? No, we'll see that it's not. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 to 9 says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. That the scripture makes it abundantly clear that it isn't through your birth line that you are of faith and are of the seed of Abraham. It is people who are of faith. Look what it says. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Thank you, Lord. So every single person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is a person of faith. And the blessings that were promised to Abraham, that he would be blessed, that those who blessed him would be blessed, and through him would come a blessing, that applies to us. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a person of faith, if you have asked for forgiveness of your sins, you have trusted in the Lord Jesus, you have called on him as your Lord and your Savior, then these blessings, that he will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron, the priestly line. Revelation 1:6 tells us that we, through faith, have been called to be a kingdom of kings and priests unto God. So house of Aaron being blessed, does that apply to us? Absolutely. Those who fear God, does that apply to us? Absolutely. Can we seek, can we look for the blessing of the Lord? Can we ask for God to bless America? Can we ask him to bless, whether we look at America as a mess or whether we look at her as something else? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can ask for the blessing of the Lord and expect it on our nation, just as the Israelites did for theirs. Our last point is that praise is for you. Verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he's given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. These people understood that after they called for the blessing of God, acknowledged him as their help and as their shield, as we do today, that the Lord would do that. We believe, according to the scripture, that the heavens are the Lord's. And do you see that it says that he's given the earth to the children of men? God has put the earth under the rulership, just like we saw in Genesis 1:28 of mankind. But look what it says. The dead, they don't praise the Lord. Those who worship false idols, those who worship themselves, those who believe that mankind is the answer for mankind, it isn't. Jesus Christ is the answer for mankind, the only answer for mankind. But those people, the dead, they don't praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we, what will we do? We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Church, let's bless the Lord. And let's look for him to give his blessing to this great nation. Can we ask for it? Yes, we can. Can we expect it? Yes, we can. And I pray that every single person will do that. I'd like to invite you at this time. It is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross that causes us then to be people of faith, people who believe in him, who know that he gave his life for us. We have no power in and of ourselves. We have nothing, but he has everything. And he's given that to us. And so the scripture tells us, and I invite you to go ahead and take out your symbol of bread, whatever it may be, that you hold that up. And Jesus said on the night of the Passover, "This is my body, which is broken for you." It's broken for you. And take this in remembrance of me. We know that Jesus was horribly battered even before he ever got to the cross. The scripture tells us that by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we can believe that God will heal us. So I have good news if you're suffering with COVID, or if you're suffering with cancer, or if you're suffering with any physical ailment. There's good news for you. It's found here in the body of Jesus, who said, "I am going to give my body as a sacrifice for you that you might be healed." Do you think that healing could apply to America? I believe that it can. I believe that if we'll pray and stand in faith for her, that God will heal her too. But go ahead and let's hold up our bread. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, you are the one who's done everything. And we want to thank you for your body that was broken so horribly for us that we could have healing, that we could have, Lord, health in our body and in our nation and even in the church. Lord, as we take this, we think of you. And as you were sitting around that table with your disciples, your word says one day we're going to be sitting around a table in glory with millions, millions of people who've called on your name. From every race, kindred, tongue, and tribe, we're going to be around thanking you, Lord, in glory. But we thank you now. And so we take this in remembrance of you. Amen. Go ahead. Scripture says that Jesus took the cup and he held it up and he said, "This is the cup of my blood. And I'm going to shed my blood that you might be forgiven of sins." There is no other way to deal with the sinful condition of mankind than through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the only answer. It's the only answer for our world right now, that people would understand and see that sins can be forgiven. It's the only way. And Jesus offered himself. And he said, "This is my blood, and I'm doing this for you. Will you do this in remembrance of me?" Yes, Jesus, we will. We will take this in remembrance of you. And so we do that right now, thanking you for your blood that was poured out for our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Communion is such a wonderful time for us to think about what Jesus has done for us. And because of what he has done, it gives us the ability to stand and say, God, we're asking that you bless America. And I believe that he can, and I believe that he will, and I believe he wants to use each one of us this morning to bless our nation. I'm going to invite you to stand. And we are going to be praying, and we are going to be saying basically one line at a time of something that we're asking God to do in our nation. So it will go like this. We'll say, God, well, let me. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to read these together, but it will go like this. Just want to get you the timing and the feeling of this. We'll say, God, bless America with your presence. Then we'll go to the next one. We'll say, God, bless America with a whatever it is. So we want to acknowledge God before every single point. And so we're going to say his name over and over and over again, because if it doesn't come through him, it doesn't happen. So here we go. We are going to be reading together. And I'm wanting all of you to join us at home. These are powerful things. God wants to bless our nation. Let's let him use our mouths right now, shall we? God, bless America with your presence. God, bless America with a hunger for you. God, bless America with a Holy Spirit revival. God, bless America with the salvation of the lost. God, bless America with churches that preach Jesus' gospel. God, bless America with godly leadership. God, bless America with protection from her enemies, seen and unseen, physical and demonic. God, bless America with peace in our country and among the nations of the world. God, bless America with health, spiritual, emotional, and physical. God, bless America with nutritious food and clean water. God, bless America with prosperity and provision of necessities. God, bless America with employment opportunities and people who are willing to work. God, bless America with an attitude of respect and care for all people. God, bless America with a passion to protect the unborn, infirmed, and elderly. God, bless America with a proper understanding of our bodies and sexuality. God, bless America with deliverance from every form of addiction. God, bless America with strong marriages, families, and relationships. Lord, we will bless you from this time forth, and we will bless you forevermore. Can we lift our hands, and can we begin to thank him? Lord, we want to thank you for blessing this great nation of ours. Lord, we thank you. You are our help and our shield, and you will bless us, Lord. We call on you, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name. Give glory, O Lord, for your mercy and for your truth. Be honored and glorified in this nation. Lord, we're asking you to do that. We're asking you to do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And now we're going to sing our blessing on America right now. You know, it's appropriate to sing a blessing. And so we're going to sing God Bless America. We're singing it as a prayer. So we're continuing our prayer right now, just very simply saying, Lord, will you bless our nation? So will you join me? God bless America, land that I love. Stand
stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, Ainsley, thank you. And while you remain standing, what an outstanding approach, really. You remind me of Jesus because you were an intercessor today bringing God and a nation called America together. The Lord used you like that. And I want to thank you for that. Would you as well just thank the Lord?
Thank you, Jesus.
And while I thank you, as we bring this service to a conclusion, we recognize, and you who are at home and are joining us, that we too are those intercessors. We either pray for our nation or we merge people to come to God. You and I can be like Christ. I'm so excited that we have a modeled example. So thank you for that, leading us in the Word, leading us in a prayer, and even leading us in a song. What an outstanding way and approach. I'm encouraged, aren't you? I feel like that makes my 4th of July complete, because not only do we celebrate our independence, but we also want to celebrate really the one who has provided that for us. We are still a nation where people are pressing to come into the nation. They want what you and I have. And there are some people that don't know what you and I have, but they have a great need, and that need is for Jesus. Let's be those intercessors. Let's tell everybody about God. Let's be those that merge other people to Christ Jesus today. What a great communion. So thank you for leading us in that way. And so thank you for joining us. I want to pray us off a blessing. I want you to be aware. It's fun in this month of July. So many things are opening up in Hope Chapel. We continue to wear our face masks, so we're about ready to don those as we dismiss here in the Chapel of Hope Chapel. But I also just want to encourage us, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be adding a modified Koinonia Fellowship in the back church parking lot. So I hope that you'll venture out and come join us one of these Sundays, because on our way out through another door, because that's the way the state requirements are, we're going to have a tremendous setup where we get a chance. We miss each other, don't we, honey? We love to see your smiling faces, even if they are covered up. We just want to thank you. We'll take part of you, if not all of you, so we're grateful. But let's lift our hearts to the Lord once again, and I want to thank you, and you'll be hearing from me in a moment. You who are online, this is a true live stream service, and we want to invite those who call Hope Chapel their church, that this is that time where we offer not only our attention, but also those first fruits to God. So we want to thank you for paying attention to that and encourage this touch-free zone to contribute and partner with what God's doing here through really online giving. So let me just lift that blessing now to you, because God, I love that, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, his first words to man, he blessed them. So, Almighty God, thank you for doing that today. We just speak again your blessing. You even ask us to bless our enemies, to bless and not to curse. So, Lord, you want to help mankind, and you've helped us today. So, therefore, Almighty God, may the Lord bless each and every one. May you cause your face to shine upon them. And Lord, be gracious to them. May your countenance come upon their home and their living arrangements. And Lord, may you cause peace in those dwellings. The Lord bless each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.